It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. This morning, we'll hear why an artist found inspiration when he rediscovered his grandfather's traditional pottery.
Never really found a focus until I started looking closely at my own history and, you know, all the things that you grow up seeing that you just take for granted.
That story's coming up. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. The Environmental Protection Agency says it will announce by the end of the year whether it will take the next step to regulate toxic fluorinated chemicals. Brittany Patterson reports the PFAS group of chemicals, which include PFOAs or C8, have been detected in some water systems in the Ohio Valley.
EPA's director of the Office of Groundwater and Drinking Water, Peter Gravatt, told a House committee that the agency will decide in the next few months if some widely used toxic chemicals used to make nonstick items should be declared hazardous under federal law. Gravatt said if the agency takes this step, it could give states more options for cleaning up contamination.
This will give very important tools for states and local communities to address these PFAS challenges at contaminated sites.
Millions of Americans have been exposed to toxic fluorinated chemicals. They've been linked to some cancers and thyroid problems at very low levels. Eric Olson with the Natural Resources Defense Council told the committee environmental groups are concerned EPA will not take swift action.
Unfortunately, the agency has known about this problem for more than a decade and hasn't even made a determination that a standard is necessary. And I didn't hear EPA commit to making a determination in the earlier testimony today.
For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Brittany Patterson.
On the latest Inside Appalachia episode, we meet people who are working in Appalachia to preserve a part of American culture and traditions. This morning, we'll hear one of the stories about an artist who is putting his own spin on a family legacy. Historically, the Catawba River Valley of North Carolina is pottery country. The Reinhardt family worked there for generations, making utilitarian pots for farmers. Now Michael Gates is building on his ancestors' work. Joe O'Connell introduces us.
Michael has always been creative, but it took him a while to find his calling as an artist. He spent time in Australia, lived in California, and then, about 5 years ago, inspiration struck, much closer to home. I'm in North Carolina's Catawba River Valley with Michael and his dad, Jim. We're making our way through the overgrowth beside an old farmhouse. It's been in their family for generations. In the 19th century, this whole region was a hotbed of pottery production. Dozens of artisans, many of them German, made ceramic jugs, the kind that people needed to store food, water, and essentials. Michael's ancestors were among those artisans, and as late as the 1950s, members of his family were still making pots in the old utilitarian style.
This was the firebox right here.
The spot where we are now is where Michael's great-grandfather built his kiln, what they call a groundhog kiln, dug into the earth and enclosed by an arched brick roof.
I'll show him the arch.
And you can come down a little bit and you can see the arch in here. And as you can see, it's pretty much glazed over and all still intact. There might be one or two bricks that have fallen out. It's in really good shape, considering its age.
For Michael, this has always been a family monument. But now it's also a source of artistic vision. In recent years, he's been making regular visits to the Catawba Valley. And they've led him to completely rethink his own art.
In my education and just early on, I enjoyed surrealism and kind of went through phases and never really found a focus until I started looking closely at my own history and the region.
That's when something clicked. When he got a bit of distance, Michael saw that the creative foundation he was looking for was already in place, back where he'd started.
I guess you realize how unique it is, and you know, all the things that you grow up seeing that you just take for granted and that kind of thing.
The story of Catawba Valley pottery has become the jumping off point for Michael's own pottery. Of course, his pots aren't quite the same utilitarian objects his ancestors made. They're art. And sometimes he even pushes the limits of what counts as pottery, such as the time he made a more modern version of the face jug, one of the valley's most iconic forms.
I bought some liquid photo emulsion I could paint on the pots I was making, and I started developing pictures onto the pots. I was taking pictures of my friends' faces and putting them on jugs and making face jugs and just having fun with it.
Years later, Michael still loves turning a historical style on its ear. In 2017, he entered a juried exhibit at the North Carolina Pottery Center called The Last Drop, Intoxicating Pottery, Past and Present. For source material, Michael looked back all the way to a 17th century English piece, a slipware vessel in the form of an owl. If drinking out of an owl sounds wild, drinking out of Michael's reinterpretation would surely be even wilder. The owl's face has what looks like a scornful, disapproving expression. Its ceramic body is densely adorned with underglazed decorations of hop vines and written phrases lifted from the American Prohibition movement. It's a clever and masterfully made piece. Not surprisingly, it sold immediately. From Michael's dad's perspective, Michael's stylistic experiments are all a welcome addition to the family story.
Michael, he does some things that just blow my mind. He'll make face jugs and he'll put decorations on them. It looks like henna tattoos. Sells them in Asheville. It would have blown my grandfather's mind. I wished he could have lived to have seen some of Michael's work.
Enoch Reinhardt, Jim's grandfather, left pottery behind before collectors really began to crave work from the Catawba Valley in the 1970s and 80s. And Jim appreciates that Michael is making the leap into art pottery that his grandfather never could.
By Michael being able to work in the pottery field, it throws a little light back on my grandfather.
Michael wants his pottery to be a viable business, but he's still got a ways to go. One thing he lacks is a sizable wood-fired kiln of his own, so he can boost his production. That's part of why Michael and Jim are turning their attention to their family's old kiln. It's going to take a lot of work and some help from neighbors to rebuild it. But if things go well, they'll be able to fire it later this summer. For Inside Appalachia, I'm Joe O'Connell in Henry, North Carolina.
To hear more stories from this episode, download or subscribe to Inside Appalachia on any podcasting app or at West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Country music star Leanne Womack released her album The Lonely, The Lonesome, and The Gone last year to critical acclaim. Our Mountain Stage Song of the Week is her performance of All the Trouble, which has been nominated for Song of the Year at the upcoming Americana Music Association Honors and Awards in Nashville.
I got all the trouble I'm ever gonna need. I got all the trouble I'm ever gonna need. I got all the trouble I'm ever gonna need. And I just don't want no stacked against you. Life's a losing hand. And even when you think you're up, you're right back down again. either way you play it, the house is gonna win. It's hard being little, it's hard being small. You make it up that mountain, you're standing big and tall. Well, the trouble with the mountain, there's a million ways to fall. And I got all the trouble coming deep. I got all the trouble I'm ever gonna need. I got all the trouble I'm ever gonna.
Leanne Womack performing All the Trouble live on Mountain Stage. To hear this and more, tune in Friday and Saturday nights at 8 right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Molly Bourne, Jessica Lilly, Kara Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, Brittany Patterson, and Roxy Todd. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.